All right. Well, good morning, everyone. Thank you for joining us today. This is Megan Herz. I'm the chair of the Board of Accountancy Qualifications Committee, and I'm calling this meeting to order. Today is Wednesday, August 12th, 2020, and the time is 9:02 a.m. This meeting is being conducted via a Zoom video. I'm sure at this point we're all pros at working from home, but if we could ask to please be sure to mute your mic through your Zoom or mute your phone if you're participating by phone, and then when you can speak, please go ahead and unmute. Please do not use the chat room for any discussions, and if you should have any technical issues arise, we'll pause the meeting until it's resolved. We'll now take a roll call of members, and so as we go through that process, please identify whether you'll be using this video or whether you're calling in via phone.
I'm here, using the Zoom video.
Apple Stevens.
Aaron Piazza.
I'm here on Zoom.
Thank you. Mary Pinero.
I'm here on Zoom.
Thank you.
You're on Zoom.
Thanks, Norm. Nicholas Van Vliet is absent today. Ellen Vaughn.
Here on Zoom.
Thank you. Gabby Zhu.
Also.
Jason Robinson, our board liaison, is also not present at this morning's meeting. Stacey James, board member.
Present. By Zoom, sorry.
Stacey is present.
Perfect.
Yes, did you not hear me? I'm sorry, the mask muffles.
Great, thank you. Okay. If there are any guests, could I ask that you please state your name and tell the committee if you're an applicant, a supervisor licensee, and if you are a supervisor licensee, the name of the applicant that you're representing today.
David Pepper here. I'm an applicant.
Good morning, David.
Hey, good morning, Matt Foley. I'm an applicant.
Good morning. This is Bianca Rabulansi. I'm an applicant.
Good morning. Athena Safety is here. I'm an applicant.
And this is Juan Stop. I'm a supervisor licensee for Athena Safety.
Supervisor licensee for David Pepper.
I'm sorry, Kevin, what was your last name?
Okay, thank you. Any other participants on the call that have not identified themselves? And as a reminder, this meeting is being recorded, so we want to make sure that everyone is aware that this is a recording meeting, and we appreciate your participation tonight. Okay. So moving to item two on the agenda, we have a review and approval of the agenda for today. And if there are no changes to the committee, I would go ahead and entertain a motion for approval.
Aaron Piazza, I move to approve the agenda.
Mark Rogers. Mary Pinero, I second.
Great, thanks. All those in favor of approval, the agenda.
Aye.
Any opposed? Great, passes. Okay. So as we discussed in our last meeting, we do have a new board liaison, Jason Robinson. Unfortunately, he's unable to be here today, so I would ask Julie and Stacey and the board staff if there are any updates or any information that's helpful for us as a committee to hear as a result of the last board meeting.
I believe that all of the applications sent forward from the qualifications committee were approved, or actually not approved, ratified. We changed our process, so there were no issues at all, and the board still, you know, extends their appreciation for all the work that was done.
Great, thanks for that, Julie.
And I want to note that Michael Smith just joined our meeting.
Okay. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning. Sorry, I'm late.
No problem, we're just getting started. Okay, so with that, we'll go ahead and move into the review of our current applications. On the docket, we have 3 new applicants and 1 deferred application. As we move into the discussion of the applications, I wanted to send just a few quick reminders. So first, we've got in the past that opening the application for discussion before presenting your motion significantly improves the efficiency of the process. That way, we are able to get everyone's input prior to bringing your motion forth to the rest of the committee. So the process will go that the committee member that's representing the applicant or that worked with the applicant through the process will present the review, their thoughts on the application. They'll open it up to the group for conversation, and then once all input has been heard, we'll go back to the reviewer that worked with the applicant through that process to bring forth a motion that's kind of an accumulation of all of the conversation and information gathered during that open session. And then as we move into that, I just wanted to issue a quick reminder. We did receive updated motion wording just prior to our April meeting, so hopefully everyone has that at hand. If not, we can certainly pitch in to help with that if questions arise. And then also a quick reminder that if there are any circumstances that would impair your independence or objectivity or competence related to a vote on an application, please abstain from voting on that application. And when you do so, just let the board staff know the reason for the abstention so that that can be noted in the file. And without further ado, I will turn the call over to Brian Miller for the application of Priyanka Ramaswamy. Brian?
So I had the pleasure of working with Priyanka and reviewing her application. She has more than 6 years of accounting experience. She's been working with her current company, Accruent, since 2015. She started there as a general ledger or general accountant and has been promoted and works now as a senior accountant. She's been under the supervision of James Ritter, who signed off on her application, and other CPAs throughout her career there. The company is currently in Texas, and she's looking to move to Oregon, thus why she's applying in Oregon. In her role, she's dealt with AP, AR, revenue recognition, EC, some new ASD. Where's my note here? The new procedures that came through as Affluent was acquired by a company called Forthrive that does SOX audits and reporting. She works a ton in the month-end process where she uses her integrity and knows also with her payroll dealings that she needs to keep certain items confidential as she's working through the processes. She does a lot with forecasting and revenue recognition, doing these pro formas and working with the upper management to relay the messaging on all of these, I guess, estimates to make sure that they're recognizing the proper amount of revenue as well as bad debts. ASC 606 is really impacting her job as she's working through that. She's done a great deal of stuff with the invoices and how to recognize capital assets versus operating expenses when you're writing off and how that impacts the different financial statements, as well as all the reoccurring revenues and their contracts there with revenue recognition. So that's kind of a summary, and I'd like to open it up to the group for discussion.
Thank you, Brian. This is Megan. I had a couple of questions on the application. So there's mention of multiple supervisors and CPAs throughout the 6 years of the current employer. And there are 2 named supervisors on the application or within the opening introduction to the application. The first is the signing supervisor, Mr. Ritter, and then the other appears to be the direct reporting relationship. So there's a skip level between the applicant and the signing supervisor. So I guess a couple of different things. You know, one, I just want to make sure that you feel really comfortable in terms of a direct supervision by the signing supervisor. And any other questions clarified at all? To ensure that all examples utilized within the paper were during the period of qualified supervision, and that those were during that time frame and under the direct supervision of Mr. Ricker.
Yes, I can vouch for that. So Mr. James Trigger is our controller, global controller, but on the record, I did report to Marie Johnston, who's the North America controller, but we did, James and I did have daily interaction, and most of the projects that I worked on, most of the daily tasks that I work on have been reviewed. We do have daily interaction on my projects, my goals, objectives, etc. So direct supervision, even though it is skip level, on the company chart, James does adhere to me as direct supervision.
Thank you.
Megan, this is Norm. I had a couple of comments, I felt like the applicant really was only describing kind of a normal, normal preparation of adjusting entries and accounting for incentives in accordance with an agreement. I think that was with the state of Louisiana. So those just seemed like, you know, normal operating kinds of duties to me in competency D. I didn't see any examples of evaluation of transaction cycle flows, you know, all the way through from beginning to end and the related controls over those cycles. There was only some description of some partial, I believe, accounts. I don't have it right in front of me, but in the collection cycle and the or the collection phase of the revenue and collection cycle, and perhaps another one, but they were only partial evaluations. For competency E, I didn't really see an evaluation of kind of a company level, a higher level risk and materiality assessment. Again, those seem fairly lower level assessments to me. And in competency F, I felt like there was a lot of discussion about what the company does and some of the accounting issues facing the company, but not that much discussion about what the applicant did to perform technical accounting research and to analyze and interpret the accounting data.
Also had questions on competency C, D as in dog. So this competency to me includes not only some of the example, the intent of it, the examples that the candidate had that I thought were good, but it's also centered around aggregation of classes of transactional data and how those roll up into the financial statements. In several different software and project implementations, if there are opportunities to discuss things like data validation from one system to another, rather than kind of identification of a one-off error or duplication of a fixed asset, expense, or capital use an error on a more, I guess, discrete basis, but maybe taking a look holistically at those data and transactional flows.
Absolutely. Sorry, go ahead.
For competency E, then I appreciated the description of the control regarding a detailed review of the revenue accounts, the, I think, revenue scrub as it was referred to. I think it would be helpful to understand from you know, your perspective as you're conducting that revenue scrub, similar to how you would parse out and discuss select included in a management review control? What are the types of things that you're looking for? What is abnormal to you? What are the types of documentational support that you would refer to alleviate any kind of variant that looks sort of out of alignment for you? So putting a little more meat on the bone there. And then I agree with Norm's sentiment on competency. I wrote that these examples seem very transactional and invite to see more financial statement level risks in some discussion of materiality. Those are the comments that I have.
The only other thing in addition to those items that I noted was in competency G. Saw a lot of good examples of written communication to management, but I was curious if there were any examples where there was some kind of oral presentation to management, or if any of those written communications were also presented in an oral manner. I didn't see anything jump out. It very well could have been something in there, but that was something I was trying to look for, and I didn't see.
This is Aaron Piazza. I'm going to kind of piggyback what Norman and Megan touched on. Competency G is, it's a lot of trees, but not a lot of forks. I think we need to zoom out a little bit and kind of see how we're analyzing and preparing financial statements and telling the audience what they need as a whole piece, not just little snippets of what the receivable balance means or what, you know, a specific transaction, how did it all come together and what it means, how was the quarter, was it a good quarter, was it a bad quarter, we need expectations. Maybe a little bit of a zoom out in a higher level review.
Any other input from other members of the committee? And I guess any questions, Priyanka, you'll have an opportunity to discuss with your reviewer any follow-up questions that are necessary. So, you know, this certainly, if you have questions, please feel free to ask them. We want to make sure that you have all the information that you need to be able to assimilate the feedback.
I guess the only question I had was, do I have an opportunity right now to answer these questions that the members have, or is it going to be a later on discussion?
I think typically we find that twofold. Generally, the types of questions that we're seeing, and again, this will depend on how the committee ultimately votes here in a moment, but typically with the types of feedback that I'm hearing, generally we like to see that information baked into documentation so that your application stands on its own as a whole, and in retrospect, anyone reviewing it down the line can go back and clearly see and articulate how all of those items map up. But that's just what I've seen in the past. So I guess I'll kick it back over to Brian for a motion.
Yes, it seems like based on the kind of conversation here in the group, we'll have to motion to have some updates for the application on sections E, F, and G.
On the grounds of of additional documentation for competencies C, D, E, F, and E. All those in favor, please say aye.
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 Okay. Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay, the motion passes. Thank you. Okay. So the next application on the list is Dina Stanky. Nick Van Gleet is unable to be on the call this morning, so he sent some notes in advance. I'll go ahead and read to the committee here. So this is the message to the committee from Nick Van Gleet regarding Adina Stanky's application. Good morning. I was not able to attend the meeting today due to a family commitment, but I did work with Adina Stanky on her application in preparation for this meeting. Adina's application is based on experience while employed at Conway, Inc. and XPO Logistics. Conway was acquired by XPO in 2015. Adina has held a variety of accounting roles with increasing responsibility over the course of 20 years with Conway and XPO. Her application is based on experience during the period from April 2012 to June 2013, which was the period of qualifying experience under the supervision of Lonstob, CPA. Adina prepared a strong initial application. In response to my recommendations, she expanded on many of the examples in the initial application and provided several additional examples of experience supporting the competencies. I believe that Adina has documented the experience supporting all of the competencies. And thank you for allowing me to present the application during my absence. So those are the comments from Nick, and I know we've all reviewed the application, so perhaps we can spend just a few minutes talking about our thoughts there, and I'd like to open it up to the group. On the competency that I'd like to present to the committee to see if anyone else have the same thoughts there. But regarding competency B, I thought we were potentially missing some quantitative examples or a lot of really good qualitative examples that articulated the goals and the metrics, but I didn't really feel very specific as far as, hey, this is a particular KPI that the organization has set, and how have we come in according to that benchmark? So that was one question that I had, and I wanted to see how the rest of the group felt. And then the other is with competency F, and there's a lot of good discussion about several different accounting research projects and balance sheet treatments and different classification items. But was really kind of discussed in more broad strokes, so would love to have seen a specific example of one piece of guidance and how that was implemented and translated into the financial statement. So those are my two comments on the application. How did others feel during their review?
Or a certain amount of words you have to have, and at first when I kind of scanned through it, I was like, you know, it might be a little light, but as I read through things, I mean, it was really that concise and to the point, and not a lot of extra thought, so I appreciated that in getting through the document. You know, kind of to your point, Megan, on the critical success factors, I guess when I first read it, I didn't really identify that qualitative versus quantitative. I was just more looking for an example of it. So, you know, it's hard to say what the right number of examples is, as we've discussed in the past. But, you know, now that you say that, you know, I see that. But not something that I necessarily identified as I was reading through it.
Okay.
And I hate to be so brief, but, you know,
this is Mary Piazza. I thought in top CG, she, you know, what she was describing, she was doing, she was the person at the top of the food chain that was delivering the month in. This is how it went. So when I got to that piece of the application, I kind of, in my mind, was like, yeah, I think she probably cleared the hurdle for me, so.
Okay. All right, I think that that is fair. Would somebody be willing to bring forth a motion on the committee's behalf?
Necessary for initial licensing per OAR 801-010-0065.
Thank you, Michael. Do we have a second?
This is Aaron Piazza. I second.
Excellent. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstention? All right, the motion passes. Thank you.
Instrumental in getting all of this through, as well as Nick Van Fleet, and a big shout out to Longstaff, my licensee supervisor. He was great through the whole process, so thanks everyone.
Great, thank you, Adina. Okay, we are making really good time this morning, everyone. I think the Zoom meeting is nice to see everyone's faces. This feels nicer than just a regular phone call. So thank you for taking the time to jump on the call this morning. So the next application that we have under pending current applications is of David Pepper. And Mary, I believe that you worked through this application with David and with Kevin.
I had the pleasure of working with David Pepper. He has been part of a program with Lithia. Lithia is his current employer and has been since June of 2018. They have a CPA track program that has a memorandum of understanding with the department, and he's been following that. His supervisors have been following that with him. His experience has been very good. Just to note, prior to that, he had worked with the CPA firm at least two busy seasons. You know, he has stamina, and he's had other jobs in private industry, and he has also served our country. So thank you very much for your service, David. I felt that he had expressed his experience pretty adequately. When we first went through it, it seemed that he hadn't given enough examples, but as we talked more and then he added more examples, I've seen that he has done everything in his company, from doing data entry to overseeing other people's data entry, doing flux analysis, developing ratios for performance measures, determining unusual circumstances and how they affect the financials. For instance, COVID-19 has affected month-to-month comparisons in his company. He has oral and written reporting obligations that he has fulfilled to the highest levels of management in his company. In our discussions, he has shown that he is both amenable to listening to his upper management and understanding why they may disagree with him. And other times, upper management has listened to him and said, yes, we see why we have to take a different approach. So it seems that there's a very good relationship there. So, what do I say now? Do I move to start looking through his open
with no further comments?
Exactly. Thank you, Mary.
Okay.
Before we do that, is there any more background on this program at Lithia Motors between the Board of Accountancy and their staff? I saw that, and I appreciate Mary explaining kind of what that is, but what is there something we can rely on? Like, he's gone through a certain checklist of items that help us get comfortable that he's met the...
is it Kevin that's there with you, David?
Hi, Mary. We can talk about this from the staff level as well.
Okay.
There are a few organizations that have a memorandum of understanding that's on file with the board, and we typically review those in the fall timeframe. So when we get together for our next meeting in November, we'll have an opportunity to review those MOUs. And essentially, large organizations such as Lithia Motors, I believe Cambia Health, Intel, historically the Oregon Department of Revenue, those are some of the examples of organizations that have a formalized program for their industry CPA candidates on file. And then on an annual basis, we are also reviewing the metric for those programs. So how many candidates have come into the program, how many candidates have passed or been licensed, how many have cycled out, those kinds of items. Julie, anything that I'm maybe omitting as part of that overview?
No, you did actually a really great job of describing what they are. The only thing I would really add is to Aaron's question, they do somewhat go through a checklist in that it's not a checklist generated by the board, but the program develops their own, they outline what their program will be and what candidates will do when they go through their individual program. So Lithia's program could be slightly different from Intel's, but we have an outline of what they will accomplish. The other side effect to that, I don't know why I'm using side effect, but the skip level reporting that we talk about often, it is less of an issue because we have committee members who submit their resumes, so we keep those on file. And so those committee members can serve as mentors, even if they don't directly supervise them in their normal role. They may supervise them as they move through different areas within their company. And so they have that consistent supervision, and those people can serve as supervisor licensees.
Perfect. Thank you for adding that, Julie, because one of the items, for instance, in a more corporate accounting type of environment is that if there is a risk that a person or a candidate may not get experience in multiple areas of each of the seven competencies, many organizations will allow or will encourage or plan to have those candidates rotate into a different role on either a project basis or for a certain period of time so that they can get good experience in those areas if they may be late. So that's really it's an effort by some of the larger organizations to really put their best foot forward and have a nice program and file so that they're being very thoughtful about the experience that a candidate's getting kind of ahead of going into their paper.
And Erin, I'm happy, I'm sure that Stacy would be happy to send out copies of the MOUs that we have on file right now, just so that you can read through them. It's not, needed necessarily for today, but just gives you kind of an idea of the differences in programs. We keep those on file, and you'll see the updates every fall, just like Megan indicated.
Yeah, that'd be great, just for curiosity's sake, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, appreciate it. Thank you.
Thanks for asking the question. We appreciate it. Any other comments on David's application?
This is Ellen Bong. I thought this was a strong application. I appreciated the format that was used. I thought it was very clear, concise, and easy to see the specific examples that were being referenced. And I appreciated the specifics and the guidance that was researched and the conclusions that were set upon. So, good job. Well done.
Yeah, and like Mary said, at the end of the day, the document that we got, a lot of really good examples in there, so very much appreciative of seeing those specific examples tied to each, one, how it addressed one of a component of the competency. Looks like Aaron might be talking. I don't know if he's on mute. I see the lips moving.
Oh, sorry, did I not? I was looking at ComCP, and I thought as examples, they started out kind of weak, and I thought they got much better. The first one just basically was an explanation of what the Securities Exchange Act is. I think we all know that. I think it got better. It stepped into debt covenant analysis, which is could be looked at as well. Somebody just gave me a bunch of ratios and told me to calculate those. And then it got much better. Example three, which is the intercompany consolidation and the eliminations, which kind of got me past the real, like, all right, this is getting into the more complicated stuff. I think if David on the line with us, I do have one question I'd like to just ask.
Yep, I'm here.
Competency E on the statement of cash flows. One word I'm hanging up on is assisting that you assist in the preparation of the monthly statement of cash flows.
Yes, so I...
Can you describe it? When you say assistant, does that mean you just gave a little bit of input, or are you kind of doing everything as somebody's reviewing it, or can you kind of give some context to what assistant means? Right.
Well, eventually I do a little bit of everything. Like, our technical accounting team puts it all together, but each month we may, like, change what specifically we're working on.
Next week, would you be able to do it yourself?
Yes. I've touched at least one component at some point. Well, the cash flow statement adjustments.
Thank you.
Any other questions or comments? None, Mary, I'll turn it over to you for a motion.
I don't have the wording in front of me. I only have the beginning of it. Can somebody else that has all the wording do it?
I'm happy to do it. I have it in front of me, so.
Thank you.
I move to find there is sufficient evidence that David Pepper's has demonstrated the competencies necessary for initial licensing per OAR 801-010-0065.
Thanks, Michael. Do we have a second?
Nice second, Pat.
Thanks, Mary. Thank you. All those in favor of the approval of the application of David Pepper, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, and then I will abstain because I worked with both David and Kevin for an extended period of time with the motors. However, if I could, I would approve. So, thank you. All right.
David here. I just wanted to say thanks to the committee and thanks to Mary for being readily available and helping me through the revision period.
You're welcome, David. Thank you for all of your work on this.
Thank you.
Okay. So with that, we'll go ahead and transition into agenda item 4B, deferred applications. So Max Polyev's application was deferred in the prior session at our April meeting, and we have received a revised application with the changes indicated in underlined and bold. And so with that, we'll go ahead and turn it over to Michael and Ellen for presentation of the application.
Great. So as Megan said, Max was deferred at our April meeting. We had asked him to go back and make updates for competencies B, C, F, G. Back during that meeting, Max had provided some verbal discussion around competency B, and at the time it seemed like that kind of satisfied that request, but you know, since we were going back and making edits anyway, it made sense to just include all those items that he discussed in that committee meeting within his narrative, just so that you know the final narrative ends up being comprehensive and including everything that was discussed in the meeting. Really appreciate Max jumping right on it after that meeting. We connected, you know, in pretty short order after the meeting, and he worked through the updates well in advance of the timeline. And we went back and forth a little, but really appreciate you know, his diligence in really making sure that this deferred application really checks all the boxes for everyone, and, you know, went back and made sure that all the points that were brought up in the meeting were addressed in this narrative. And so, you know, working back through it, working through the updates, you know, I feel that Max has sufficiently gone back and addressed all the points that were discussed in our April meeting. Ellen, I don't know if you have anything to add beyond that.
No, I would concur. I thought Max did a nice job of taking the feedback from the committee and incorporating that into his documentation.
Thank you. So now, if anyone has any additional questions or wants to discuss anything.
This is Megan. I appreciated the amount of additional parsing out in competency F. I think the feedback, as you can tell, was very clearly taken apart and taken very seriously, incorporated into the narrative. So thank you for that.
Thank you.
I'm the newest, one of the new people on the committee, but I remember the first time we saw your app, I was very impressed, and this time even more so, because it was very succinct, very on target. That was very good.
Thank you very much, Mary. Thank you.
I got a question. I'm kind of curious. So why Oregon? I see it looks like you're in New York City, and you're in Florida, or your two home bases, so...
That's correct. That's after extensive travel around the world. So the reason is that the Oregon jurisdiction allowed me to proceed directly to the four exams back in 2016 without the necessity to complete any other additional requirements. And I also have a very good friend living in Oregon, so that kind of pretty much determined the decision for me.
Go ahead and make a motion, hearing nothing else. I move to find that there is sufficient evidence that Max Polyov has demonstrated the competencies necessary for initial licensing per OAR 801-010-0065.
Thank you, Michael. Do we have a second?
I second that.
Okay. All those in favor of approval?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Great. Any opposed? Any abstentions? Passes. Thank you.
Congrats, Max.
Thank you very much. I would like to thank all the members of the board for being very, very supportive, and particularly Michael and Ellen, who have been very, very instrumental, and Stacy, who has been very, very helpful actually for a long period of time. So I really want to thank you for being so supportive and so positive along the way, along this journey.
You're welcome.
Right. So moving on to agenda item number 5, new business. It looks like the board staff have some exciting news to share with us. Is that right, Julie?
Yes, sorry. I wasn't prepared to shift quite yet. The board moved to a new office in Salem in the middle of May. We kind of transitioned in because of all the current events. But May, we were back in the office. It's at the corner of State and Hawthorne, if you're familiar with Salem, just so that you know where you'll come for in-person meetings when that may happen, maybe next year. And we're all set up and ready to go. It didn't take us long to transition, but if any of you renewed, you probably saw all the notes we kind of blasted out that we were moving so that everybody would be aware. But we transitioned really smoothly, and I don't think there have really been any hiccups. We're all settled in.
Mm-hmm. Congratulations. And then it looks like there may be a new board website as well.
Yes, that would be me too. I guess I just agree. The state of work kind of mandated that all state agencies transition from the old website platform to a new platform. It's still SharePoint, but it's a new version. Goes into technical detail about what is supported, and I'm not a techie person. However, we did meet that deadline with, I think, 15 days to spare. And so the new website just looks completely different. But really important for you, because you're on a committee, you may get questions about where do I find things. But so it's just really important for you to know everything that was on the old website is still on the new website. There's even more there. Hopefully it's organized in a way that makes sense. But if you have any questions, please reach out to either Stacy or I. We can help you find anything you need, or if you feel like there's something missing or information that would be helpful, we can certainly make those updates or run it through the director or the board and add things that may be helpful.
And then I guess at this point we can open it up to the committee. Is there any other new business that the staff or that the committee would like to discuss?
Do we have a tentative date for the Q4 meeting yet, or is that?
It does. It looks like it's Wednesday, November 18th at 9 a.m. And my guess would be that it would likely be another video conference.
I would think so.
Do we have a sense of how many people are applying in that cycle, or?
I'm not sure yet. Stacy, do you have you received any applications yet? Do you think it's going to be a big meeting, or today was a very efficient meeting? So, good job, everyone.
Today was quick. I haven't received any applications yet. Oftentimes, I don't receive any until just a couple of days before the deadline or on the actual submission deadline.
We have an update on whether or not the testing facilities are open.
They are.
Okay.
Yeah.
And they closed for a period of time?
They were closed in April and May, and then I believe that they opened back up in June.
There are five facilities in Oregon that opened up in June. I think there are actually still some testing centers. For example, I think Southern Oregon University down that served our Medford, Ashland, Klamath Falls, people that I don't know that that's even open yet, so they're making the trek up to Eugene. But the last report we got from NASVA said that the testing centers are really running under capacity, that, you know, there's an assumption out there that dates aren't available, and so people are pushing it out more, candidates, but that they really could take on a few more, so maybe they're getting that word out, and we may see more people testing.
They've
we
also
had two interns at the Standard, and they both had said that their testing spots were canceled. Now, it may have been in that April, May time frame, but they were asking if and when they would open back up again, and I didn't have any information, so I didn't know.
We do have links on the board website. Actually, right on, I just opened up the website. So right at the very front on the home page, there is a link for COVID information for candidates. So there, and within that page, there is a link where they can go directly to the ProMetrics site, and it shows a list state by state of what centers are open currently. I mean, it's up to date for anyone to look at, which is great. And the other thing that I wanted to add is that the board has extended all NTS expirations and offered credit extensions through the end of this year for anyone who had either an NTS expiring in that period where they were closed or had credits that were expired, just to make it equal for them, to give them an equivalent opportunity, because they missed a few months and now we're slowly transitioning into opening facilities but at half the capacity. It will take a little bit longer for people to test, and so we've extended all of those deadlines to December 31st.
NASPA's also moved to continuous testing, so we no longer have blackout. We no longer have the testing windows, and so that might open it up a little bit more as well.
Correct.
I was wondering if you have any information about the new format that I read about in the Journal of Accountancy, where it sounds like, if I read it right, we're going to have just one nationwide license, and it's going to be with more of an emphasis on IT, not IT so much as systems being able to work with different programs and things.
So I don't
know anything about that.
Preliminarily, come out. I don't know that there's anything decided. I think they're moving forward with preparing a different exam, like revising the exam itself so that it would have more of an IT focus as part of the core. And then I think there are three. I'm referring to the visual that I saw. So there will be a core that includes all of the basics that were already there, those core areas plus IT. And then each candidate will be able to choose one area of emphasis out of three. So that would be their fourth exam section. But it wouldn't be a national license. It still would be a comprehensive exam, you know, that's the same nationwide, but the licensing wouldn't change state to state.
Okay, so then other than that, we'd love to hear any feedback from the new members on how the shadowing system is working. Is everyone feeling kind of up and running? If there are things that we can do to help support you through this integration, any feedback there?
So far, it's been good exposure. I think we've seen a variety of applicants. Erin, I thought you asked some great questions today. So if nothing else, it's really meaningful to have these sessions and to hear everyone else's questions, because I think it's helping as I see more.
Great. Thanks, Ellen.
And can I add to that, Ellen? So all of these meetings are recorded, and we post the recordings on the board website. So anybody, usually it's applicants that are going back, but I know that we've had new members in the past that have gone back and listened so that they could go back through those questions and kind of get a sense of. So, or if you've missed a meeting, you can go back through and hear those discussions as well. So.
Yeah, that was very helpful to go back and to refresh my memory on what we had talked about before and then take a look at Max's updates.
Great. Glad to hear that. And I know that the board staff has accumulated a repository of different files and practice aids as people are reviewing applications that you can use to kind of jot down your thoughts. Quite a few of those available. So if that's helpful in any way, I'm sure Stacey has sent them out, but we're definitely able to recirculate those if it's something that would be helpful in addition to the updated motion wording or any other resources that we can help provide that would be helpful to you.
I can just send all of that out as soon as we're done with this meeting.
Yeah, I've left myself a note to pull down the revised wording and have it on hand.
I'll send it to you.
Okay. Well, if there is,
I just say one thing. You guys are great in terms of helping, because when I stepped in on David's, I had a lot of questions, and I don't remember if it was Stacy or Julie. I think it was Stacy who was there for me all through the steps, and I appreciated that very much.
Oh, you're welcome. Oh, am I muted? I'm not muted. You're welcome.
So are the appointments staggered? So is there people that are going to be expiring after this year, and you're going to have new people coming on in January? Are we all on the same two-year term?
As far as the roster?
Most of you, all of the new ones are on the same term. Julie, do you know?
I have the roster up, actually. We can send that out to you. It does have the term expirations. Most of you are on the same term because we had just a big... Normally they're staggered. Short answer, we try to stagger them. So you have two or three onboarding at the same time, two or three leaving at the same time, so you have that continuity. However, we had some that were rolling off naturally, right, through their third term. And then at the same time, we had others leaving because they moved across the country or because, you know, different situation with kids or, you know, so there was I want to say six or seven that left within a few month period just for various reasons. So we now have, you know, kind of this big core group learning at the same time. But the flip side to that is you're all getting to learn at the same time and learning from each other and have that discussion rather than being the one or two that are just, you know, shadowing. So there's positive in everything.
But thank you, Erin. Yeah, that is a great question, because we definitely do have an eye on what that waterfall looks like as far as, you know, people coming up on their, I guess, retirement from the committee. So good question. And then sometimes we, as Julie mentioned, oftentimes people will leave ahead of their term expiration. So you can have hold up to 3 terms, which are 2 years apiece, so you can be on the committee for a maximum of 6 years. Information or other questions that the team has, then we'll go ahead and adjourn the meeting at 9:57 a.m. Thanks, everyone. We look forward to connecting in November.
Nice job.
Thank you. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you all.
Have a nice summer as well.
Thank you all. Everybody stay healthy. Okay. Okay.